Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a great, what day is this? Oh, Wednesday morning, July the 6th, 2005. Glad you've joined us here in Greenville, South Carolina for the Tyranny Response Network's production of Christian Worldview. Currently in Greenville and the rest of the upstate, it's about 71 or 72 degrees. Today, we're going to have partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s, so I guess not quite as hot as what they've been giving us lately. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain is at 40%. That's only 40% today. Remember the scripture that says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and the wicked perish. There is shouting. Great verse. Great verse. We know God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, he says, but in terms of a human experience, according to the scriptures, we shout for joy anytime we hear of wicked rulers dying. And so that's our scripture verse to remember for the day. Once again, glad you took the time to join us this morning. I want to remind you, first off today, if you have not done so, please take 1 minute to sign an online petition to protect our property rights, etc. in South Carolina. If you're a South Carolina citizen, you can go to petitiononline.com/scrog1, S-C-R-O-G-1. S-C-R-O-G has to be in all caps, and it's petitiononline.com/scrog1, S-C-R-O-G-1. That petition is well worth not only reading, but it's well worth signing and trying to get involved and be active in our society, telling the state of South Carolina that we are interested in having our fundamental rights protected. That's the rights to life, liberty, and property. We need these rights protected, folks, because if we don't have these rights protected, we move into a complete totalitarian state. And it's worth it for Christians who want to be peacemakers to continue to pursue these things. Today, the Times Examiner will be having my last article on the Second Amendment coming out. Hope that that's enjoyable for you to read. When the following week starts, I'm going to have a three-part series on rights, as well as something about just war. And it really leads from a lot of what was written this week in the petitiononline.com/scrog1, and that if we don't have fundamental rights, we have nothing but mayhem, misery, chaos, war, poverty, dilapidation of the environment, and destruction of private property. That's what comes, folks, when we do not have those rights protected. And we've seen it happen before in communist experiments and socialist paradises, so-called socialist paradises around the world. Those things are not protected. We lose. Everything turns into chaos and mayhem, and it's very grievous. Christians are supposed to be those who are peacemakers, pursuing peace with all men, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. We are to be those who are blessed, like Christ says, blessed are those who are the peacemakers, and in Matthew chapter 5. James says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace, in James 3:18. Important thing to think about there. What's the best way that a Christian can sow peace in the world in terms of the structure around him of politics or public policy? The best thing that he can do is support life, liberty, and property. Even in a very paradoxical way, fighting for peace. Because if we simply roll over and allow them to take away our rights, to bludgeon them, to mow them over, to roll them out flat, when those things are gone, we are not sowing peace. In fact, we are sinning, not only because we're poor stewards, but because we're not fulfilling our call to make peace in the world. Strange as it may seem, folks, by fighting for these things, even with arms, even literally fighting for these things, we are sowing peace in the world, because without life, liberty, and property, there is not social peace. And ultimately, we realize the Prince of Peace, the lasting peace that comes from the work that we do as Christians, comes through the gospel, and that we sow peace in the world because we sow Jesus Christ. We sow his church and his kingdom. And lasting peace for you can only come, if you're not a Christian, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And we stand behind that 100% here at Christian Worldview. That is the most important thing that you could possibly do in life, is repent and believe in Jesus. Forsake your sins, trust in the Savior, and inherit eternal life. That is certainly part and parcel of what the Christian's role is in sowing peace in the world. But the other side of sowing peace is our duty and our obligation to occupy, or as the Bible says, do business until Jesus returns. And part of that doing business means being active in our culture with what customs and conditions we inherit, and to make a difference in the world. Not to spend all of our time or an inordinate amount of time on these kinds of things, whether it be public policy or radio shows or writing articles in the newspaper or writing books or becoming active in petitioning abortion clinics. These are valuable activities that don't need to take all of our time, but they can take some of the time. If Christians don't take a stand, after all, we are sure to go down the devil's route, and we're certainly certain to go down to a road of centralized planning, proactive public policy that'll only lead to war, poverty, misery, mayhem, and chaos, as it has in the rest of the world. So can you sow peace? Yes, you can as a Christian, by preaching the gospel and edifying the church, but also for fighting for the rights to life, liberty, and property. And you can do that a little bit simply by going to petitiononline.com/SCROG1, SCROG1, and signing. It'll take less than 30 seconds to sign the petition. Currently, I think last I checked a little while ago, there were 94 signatures on the petition. We need a lot more than that, folks, and we need you not only to sign the petition, we need you to mail out the URL. That's the thing that people can click on in their email, so they can automatically sign it as well, and we hope that you will. Well then, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I just wanted to let you know that, and also wanted to let you know that we have a phone number here that you can call and talk to me or about any of these issues. 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also try our backup line, which is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We'll be happy to take your calls on either line. Prefer, if you can, the first line, 244-8177. You can also send your questions or comments by email, and you can send them to policyofliberty.net. The questions at policyofliberty.net. Also want to give you a quick plug for the Tyranny Response Network's website, which is tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. As soon as I can get Rip and Richie to get a little extra time on his hands, I've asked him to put some of these links for these petitions on the Tyranny Response Network website. Hasn't happened yet, but it'll be a lot easier for me to direct you all to there at some point and to find this petition. I mentioned the Scrog 1 petition, as well as some others that are worth signing. Those will be coming up on the website at some point in the future. But tyrannyresponse.com is your one-stop shop for finding out what's happening in the upstate as far as local events on instituting the Constitution, for instance, coming up next Monday night. That'll be the last meeting, 203 Anna Marie Lane in Pelzer. Everybody is invited at 6:30. Hope you can make it. Next week, there are also Patriot meetings, Carolina Patriot meetings in Asheville and Fountain Inn. And there's a Libertarian Party business meeting on the 14th. This week, there is absolutely nothing going on. There are no events whatsoever. But that's a good thing to know, right? It's a week off for those of us who are active in our world, trying to change things through public policy and getting involved in these various excellent groups here in the upstate of South Carolina. So check out tyrannyresponse.com and find out and keep apprised of the related media and the events that go on. You'll be glad that you did. It's a good place to go every once in a while. Well, as I said, you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we're going to go take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've got a few interesting stories and articles today. Here's one that we may not agree with. One of my productions, the production staff certainly thought that there was some question about it. But on the other hand, as I scanned through it, it looked like it was well worth bringing up on the air. That's the parts that I read I agreed with. But I want to bring up a couple of things here because I thought that it seems like a very good, seems like a pretty good article. This is an article written by Brannon House. That's H-O-W-S-E, and he's the president and founder of Worldview Weekend and the author of One Nation Under Man, the Worldview War Between Christians and the Secular Left. And it's to be released by September 11th by Brodmann and Holdman Publishers. Interesting. It's a mainstream book, which gives, I guess, some people pause, making them wonder about just, you know, how true this thing is. But nevertheless, the title is, "Was the American Revolution Unbiblical? Giving Liberals a Good Fight Among Ourselves." Liberals love it when conservatives fight among themselves, especially when the battle centers around whether or not America is truly based on a biblical foundation and God's providential work. In case you're blissfully ignorant about the controversy, let me explain, he says. House guy. A nationally known pastor that I appreciate and agree with most of the time has actually written that the founding of America was a sin. Over the past several centuries, people have mistakenly linked democracy and political freedom to Christianity. That's why many contemporary evangelicals believe the American Revolution was completely justified, both politically and scripturally. They follow the arguments of the Declaration of Independence, which declares that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are divinely endowed rights. Therefore, those believers say such rights are part of the Christian worldview, worth attaining and defending at all costs, including military insurrection at times. But such a position is contrary to the clear teaching of the commands of Romans 13:1. So they say, at any rate. 13:1-7. So the United States was actually born out of a violation of New Testament principles, and any blessings God has bestowed on America have come in spite of that disobedience by the founding fathers. This is what is commonly held. This is true, by the way. That statement is held by so many, the majority, I would say, of evangelical pastors that I have met and have talked about this issue with, and they still hold to it. You know, they don't like to think about it too deeply, but most of the ones I meet believe that we sinned. The American founding fathers were in sin by rebelling against King George. It's the basic Tory principle warmed over and still alive and well in American evangelical churchianity today. He continues on, when you combine a lack of knowledge about the American Revolution with a false interpretation of Romans 13, you end up with good conservative Christians adding to the misinformation about our founders and believing that America was not established under God, but by an unchristian rebellion. My friend and regular Worldview Weekend speaker David Barton has written a paper entitled, Was the American Revolution a Biblically Justified Act?, in which he notes, the Presbyterians, Lutherans, Baptists, Congregationalists, and most other Christian dominant denominations during the American Revolution believed that Romans 13 meant they were to not overthrow government as an institution and live in anarchy. The passage does not mean that they have to submit to every civil law. Note that in Hebrews 11, a number of those who made the cut in the Faith Hall of Fame as heroes of the faith were guilty of civil disobedience, including Daniel, the three Hebrew children, the Hebrew midwives, Moses, etc. If the founding fathers had removed themselves from underneath the authority of Great Britain because they were choosing anarchy over an established government, then that would be a violation of Romans 13. Although Romans 13 is not an endorsement of every government, it is a description of what God says is the proper role of government. Now, of course, this is the theonomist view, perspective, by the way, and David Barton is retaliating or standing up against this modern evangelical view that's so common and prevalent that it was a sin for us to undertake the war for independence and rebel, so-called rebel against King George III. And so Barton is saying here that they were talking about not endorsing any government in Romans 13, but giving us the ideal description of what government should be. And those words good and evil in the passage being literally interpreted according to what God thinks are good and evil, rather than, as I would, interpreting those things to mean what Nero thought were good and evil. At any rate, continuing on with the article. In Scripture, God initiates several realms of authority for human governments, family, state, church, and state. Again, this is the theonomist view right out of the Westminster Confession. I reject personally the idea that the state is one of those realms of authority. But at any rate, granting that that as a legitimate potential perspective, he says, we take these to be the normal pattern of social interaction, and civilizations throughout history have reflected these in some form. Simply because the presence of these institutions is normative, however, we should not expect every instance of them to be acceptable. Fathers are the God-ordained head of the family, but those who abuse their children and wives deserve to be removed from their positions of authority. Wives and children should not passively accept the daily beatings just because the concept of family government gives the father a role as the head of the home. God has created family government, but that does not mean the leader of every family is endorsed by God. Few people disagree that a pastor or elder should be removed from leadership in the church, his God-ordained position of authority, if the leader is guilty of grave moral and ethical failures. Christians who attend church where a leader remains, even though violating God's standards, should remove themselves from that church and find one that complies with God's principle. Which brings us to the arena of civil government. Romans 13 articulates God's specific plan and purpose for state authorities, but with a church and family, as with church and family rule, God does not necessarily endorse every leader or every civil government that comes along. God gives government to the responsibility to punish the wicked and reward and protect the righteous, but that doesn't always, it always doesn't work out that way. In fact, I'll interject again here, it almost never works out that way. But at any rate, Nazi Germany failed spectacularly in that calling, likewise Stalinist Russia. These modern examples are easy to judge, yet the picture becomes slightly similarly clear for America's early history when we understand the nature of the 18th century British rule over the colonies. For 11 years, our founding fathers petitioned the King of Great Britain to cease his unlawful and biblical actions against the colonials. Although the monarch had ignored their grievances, they remained under his authority until he sent 25,000 troops into the colonies for the purpose of seizing property, invading homes, and imprisoning people without trials. The King's actions violated his own British common law, the English Bill of Rights, and the centuries-old Magna Carta. Now, we're going to want to continue talking about this particular article. It goes on for a little bit further, but we're going to go and take a quick break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and wait a second. I need to give you the phone number so you can call during the break in case you want to get in on this discussion. 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also try our backup line, which is 864-201-6955, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Well, and welcome back.
Warning.
To Christian World
Dr. View. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Well, hello, this is Dr. John Coben.
We're going to try that again here. I keep trying to break back in here, and for some reason we continue to go on. I'm going to have to check with my production staff, see what's going on with our commercial list and so forth. At any rate, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Welcome back to the show. Once King George started down the path of violent suppression, we're continuing on reading this article. The founders announced their intent to separate from Great Britain. They wrote at length that they were involved in self-defense, which they rightly believed was biblically acceptable, and so do we. British troops fired the first shot in every confrontation leading up to the Revolutionary War, the massacre of 1770, the bombing of Boston in 1774, and the Lexington and Concord engagements of 1775. Unless you are a thoroughgoing pacifist, there is no basis for saying the founders sinned in defending themselves against King George's troops and their terrorist attacks against the colonists. The founders' fight was not a military insurrection. Our early leaders took seriously their standing before God and believed he could bless a war of defense, but not a war of offense. They have fought to protect their own lives and those of their families and friends. Many Christians get queasy over the subject of civil disobedience and invoke Romans 13 to avoid the responsibility of standing up to a defiant or deviant government. While I agree it is crucial that Christians pursue civil disobedience only when obeying government requires us to disobey God, Scripture offers a clear direction on when such action is acceptable. Kirby Anderson points out the following biblical principles for disobedience. The law, first of all, the law or injunction being resisted should clearly be unjust and unbiblical. Two, the means of redress should be exhausted. I'm going to jump back to this first one. This is difficult because the law or injunction being resisted should clearly be unjust and unbiblical. Does it have to be both things? What about a speed limit, for instance? Is that unjust and unbiblical? I mean, I would tend to think yes, but when it says this language, the law or injunction being resisted should clearly be unjust and unbiblical, it sounds like you could take a majority vote and get 95% of the people to agree that yes, it's unjust or unbiblical, and that might preclude a lot of things. So I'm not sure that language, this is a tough question. I mean, we're not saying that you should go to war and revolt over speed limits necessarily, and I'm sure he's not saying that here, is my point. But I'm just not sure about this first point, because it seems to me very subjective on whether something is unjust or unbiblical. But be that as it may, it is the first thing he uses, the first step he uses in determining whether or not revolution resistance, or whatever you want to call it, is possible. Number two is the means of redress should be exhausted. So you go ahead and try to get people to in the government to stop doing the evil acts or repeal the evil laws. Okay, fair enough. Third, Christians must be willing to accept the penalty for breaking the law. Okay. Fourth, civil disobedience should be carried out in love and with humility. Okay, now that's a very strange one also. I guess in the sense that we don't want to have malice towards the invader or the aggressor. We just want to shoot him between the eyes and put him in his place. So I suppose that you can call that being carrying out disobedience in love, but it does sound a little bit strange. And with humility, certainly, because you're not defending your property because you're haughty, but because you're trying to obey God in all his commands for you and all his designs for you. Civil disobedience should be considered only when there is some possibility of success, is the fifth point. And that's a great point, because why would we want to ever conduct civil disobedience when all we're going to do is get thrown in jail or have some hassle? The Founding Fathers, he says, did not violate New Testament principles when they instituted American independence, and it is critical that we close ranks on this fundamental issue. Our nation was founded under God's guiding hand, not in spite of it. Whether or not we can continue in the godly heritage of the first Americans is a vital concern, but it's one that should be debated between us and them, not between us and us. Excellent point, and I do appreciate Brannon House. I don't know who Brannon House is, other than that he says here he's the president and founder of the Worldview Weekend and author of One Nation Under Man, Worldview War Between Christians and the Secular Left, to be released on September 1st of this year. Sounds like an interesting book. I appreciate, by the way, even though I'm not a theonomist, I do appreciate very much the things that they write because of their consistency, their thoroughgoing efforts in doing scholarly work in the public policy arena, and they do such a great job in pointing out some of the fallacies of the religious left and also of the so-called religious right when it comes to the people who are Tories, what I call the revitalized or reshaped divine right of king's view holders, people who hold on to this particular perspective, this ridiculous perspective. And I think the American founders were more than justified in doing what they did at the American, so-called American Revolution. I do differ, of course, with the theonomists in many respects of the, I guess you could say, the details of how they would interpret Romans 13 and the role of the state and whether or not it is one of the institutions that God ordains in the world that men are to submit to and so forth. But in the broader scheme of things, we can still shoulder arms side by side with theonomists in fighting a common foe, even if in the end we are not out for the same result that they are with having a godly state ruling over people. So at any rate, a great article, enjoy reading it, and I do think theonomists are doing a great service to folks by helping them think better about issues of public policy and the Christian worldview. So, at any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Remember, the phone number here is 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month, that's next week, at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we are going to go and take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The
Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in Greenville, Spartanburg at the airport, 74 degrees. Same with downtown Greenville. Clemson and Anderson are holding at 72 degrees. Today there'll be partly cloudy skies, a chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 40%. Well, we've had our first exciting first half hour of Christian Worldview because we've been talking about God's Word and the implications of God's Word for us as Christians and how we ought to behave in the world around us, especially when it comes to public policy. So we're glad to be able to present that for you and to help you think better. If you want to comment about anything you hear on the show, please do give us a call at 864-244-8177, 864-244-8177. You can also try the backup phone number if you can't get through on that line at 864-201-6955. And we'll be looking forward to hearing from you here today at Christian Worldview. Well, we want to also give a good plug for our friends at the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists. I'm one of them, and I'm glad to be there. In fact, my articles are coming out in droves here about public policy theology. Very fitting for the Christian Worldview show. and hope you have an opportunity to read them. If you want to read my columns, by the way, you go simply go to the policyofliberty.net website. That's www.policyofliberty.net, and click on articles and papers, and you'll be able to go to the appropriate place and read about them there. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Email, or you can call them at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. And you may also call David at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464 if you want to place an ad in the Times Examiner. They are a fledgling newspaper in many respects, struggling to survive, and would greatly appreciate your ad dollars heading their way. Not expensive to place an ad in the Times Examiner, but well worthwhile, both because you get to support the Times Examiner's great efforts in promoting the truth in this, in the upcountry of South Carolina, but also because through the Times Examiner, you will be able to reach a wider audience for your business. So do give David a call at 864-244-6464 to place an ad in that great paper. And once again, that number for the subscription, 864-268-0576. Any of these phone numbers and details you miss, you can always redeem yourself by going to the tyrannyresponse.com website or .net website. Redeem yourself in the sense that you don't have to worry when you're driving about writing down a phone number. If you can just remember to go to the website, tyrannyresponse.com, all will be well and remedied because all these details are all there for you and easy to find. Well, at any rate, we've had a lot of interesting discussion this morning, as I said, and we have a few other things to talk about here as well. One person had talked during the break about Francis Schaeffer's view. We've talked about Francis Schaeffer's view, very similar to the fellow we just read. Francis Schaeffer essentially held that we can have rebellion against, or resistance, if you want to call it that, against the state. Anytime it defies God's law, we can break rules regarding trespassing on abortion property, abortion clinic property. And stopping feticide, for instance. And it's a perfectly acceptable thing for Christians to do based on Proverbs 24 as well as elsewhere in the Scriptures. We also see from the Scriptures that God is not a Tory, that God does not look at the government, or the state, I should say, that we have in the same way that so many evangelicals try to paint the state. Instead, Francis Schaeffer says the first thing you need to do is start using the political process, the things that are there for you, voting, electing people, appointing a judgment, jury nullification. Those are things that are easy to do. If that doesn't work and you still have the evil rulers above you, you can flee. And if that still doesn't work, if you can't get out, then you can take up arms and attack the state and attack these people and resist them and put them in their place and bring liberty to the land and thereby generate peace. These are all methods advocated by Francis Schaeffer in his book, A Christian Manifesto. Interesting idea, to say the least. So we hold to basically Francis Schaeffer's view on this. I think he was right. Whether we be in the liberty of conscience perspective or the theonomic perspective, we look at Francis Schaeffer's work are fondly, and we think it is quite appropriate at times for Christians to engage in such things. If you may have a different opinion, we'd like to hear from you, or if you agree, we'd like to hear from you. 864-244-6464. That's 864-244. Oh, I'm giving the Times Examiner number, 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955, or 864-244-8177, our main line, 864-244-8177. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn, and we're actually going to try to jump to another quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20 and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. The illustrious research staff found an old article by Cal Thomas, which is called "Church, Not State, Must Advance Moral Agenda." Now, here's something pertinent for the Christian Worldview. This came from www.newsandopinion.com. And it says, former senator and U.S. and U.N. ambassador John Danforth has performed a valuable service between elections by writing about a Christian's role in contemporary American society. In an op-ed for the New York Times last Friday, Danforth, an ordained minister, observed, "Many conservative Christians approach politics with the certainty that they know God's truth and that they can advance the kingdom of God through government action." But his central thesis is correct in this article. He says, "Christians are limited in what government can do for them and for an earthly agenda." That is, Christians shouldn't be looking to the state to do a proactive role. Cal Thomas continues, "That does not mean government can't do some things. It simply means it cannot advance a moral and spiritual agenda because it is the church, not the state, that is commissioned to preach and observe God's message," which we agree with entirely. "Christians should consider before demanding government to act to repair the moral slide." Wouldn't these conservative Christians have greater moral power if they put their own houses in order before trying to cure disorder in other houses? And this is an excellent point. He says, still, Danforth is right about where true power to change from people comes from. It isn't from the state. Well, I agree entirely, and this again may be a rub for the theonomic perspective, because ultimately theonomists themselves believe that you can enforce a moral order by the hand of the state, and they punish evil according to what God thinks is evil through the hand of the state in an idealized state. Now there's of course question. We have to be careful about how far that's taken, in the sense that we're not talking about necessarily there being thought police, for instance, in a theonomic world, but they are still engaging in proactive policy. Of course, the divine writers, these folks that are so commonly blocking out the airwaves from Christian talk shows, what I consider to be festivals of ignorance, they are actually advocating that the state uphold moral principles from God's word, and actually force them on other people. They either take a selective piece of the Ten Commandments, like the ones that are obvious, murder and lying, and extend it further than that to adultery, to children being incorrigible, to covetousness, to I suppose some would even go back to Sabbath breaking, having the blue laws and having, very serious penalties for violating the Sabbath. How would they do with blasphemy and taking the name of the Lord in vain and some of the other, these commandments? I don't know. But there are people who who would actually advocate that the state should stand up and punish homosexuals. They should punish all sorts of sinful behavior in people. Others would say, of course, just because it's sinful doesn't mean it should be illegal. That's a position that I would hold as well. But still, there are some many who today look at the state as an arm of anything that is immoral, and God's word points out as vile and wrong, should be illegal, and the state should use the power of the sword to castigate people who do not comply with God's word. So that's an interesting rub either way. It's an interesting discussion either way from evangelical point of view. But I think that Cal Thomas is right here when he says the state should not be involved with this moral agenda. One reason for that is, in my perspective, the state is evil by nature. It's one of Satan's two main instruments that he's used in the history of the world, that along with false religion, to promote satanic ideals, to promote the ideals that are antithetical to God's kingdom and God's ways, to promote things that are harmful to God's people, that are harmful to the gospel of Christ. You say, well, Dr. Coben, how can the state be called for doing that? Well, the state clearly, in history at least, has been this way. The states, it's a rare exception to find a state that does not bring murder, corruption, mayhem, chaos to society. It does not bring order. It brings harm, social harm. Now, we're talking about limited government here. Limited government is different than a state. A limited government is just a collective action against a predator. But with a state, we have the proactive element coming in, the business helping activity coming in, the extortion coming in, the conscription coming in. All the terrors of 1 Samuel chapter 8 come alive when you have a state. Now, in all fairness, once again to my Christian Reconstruction brethren, they would likewise say, yes, Dr. Coben, you're right, states have been this way, and we believe the states don't have to be that way, and they would say, ideally, they're not. In other words, if we look into either the Golden Age to come, or some rare occasions in history, or in the rare occasions that will come up in the future, and they would say in an increasing number, we would actually have the state doing what is good for people, not doing evil. But they're not blind to the fact that the state has been an evil force, a great satanic force in the history of the world, and Satan has used it to crush people, to destroy people's lives, to bring mayhem instead of peace. And these are just undeniable facts for that matter. Look at Stalin. Look at Robert Mugabe, we read about recently in Zimbabwe, going on right now. Look at George Bush not going over the rescue of those 120,000 people in that little Holocaust. Look what's going on in the Sudan. Look what happened with Idi Amin and Pol Pot. Look what happens with Castro or Allende in Chile, and the many, many other dictators that have come and gone just in the last 100 years of chaos and misery that's been brought on people throughout the world. It's pretty easy to see and point the finger to us to the state as being a great culprit, henchman of Satan in doing much evil in the world. So at any rate, this whole idea that Cal Thomas brings up, I think, is important, and I agree with Cal on this particular point. Well, we can shift gears here for just a minute. Actually, are we getting close to a break? Let me just double check. Oh, we have a couple of minutes here. Well, let's read just a little bit from the lessons from the Kelo decision from Representative Ron Paul, MD, our favorite guy on the Hill. One week after the Kelo decision, he says, by the Supreme Court, Americans are still reeling from the shock of having our nation's highest tribunal endorse using government power to condemn private homes to benefit a private property developer. Even as we celebrate our independence from England on July 4th, we find ourselves increasingly enslaved by petty bureaucrats at every level of government. The anger engendered by the Kelo case certainly resonates on this holiday based on the rebellion against government. The silver lining in Kelo, as the case may be, that the veneer of government benevolence has been challenged. Kelo has several important lessons for all of us. The notion that the judicial branch of government serves as a watchdog to curb legislative and executive abuses has been entirely exposed as an illusion. Judges not only fail to defend our freedoms, they are actively infringing upon them by acting against de facto legislators, or acting as de facto legislators. Thus, Kelo serves as a stark reminder that we cannot rely on judges to protect our freedoms. America will regain lost freedoms only when her citizens wake up and reclaim a national sense of self-reliance, individualism, and limited government. A handful of judges cannot save the nation from itself. The Kelo case also demonstrates that local government can be as tyrannical as centralized government. We can bury our heads in the sand, folks, says Ron Paul, and hope things don't get too bad, or we can fight back when government treats us as a servant rather as its servant rather than its master. And we appreciate Ron Paul bringing this up for us. He says, if a constitutional purist hope to maintain credibility, we must reject the phony incorporation doctrine in all cases, not only when it serves our interest. And this issue of Kello in the case is the legality of eminent domain action under the Connecticut law, not federal law. Congress can and should act to prevent federal government from seizing private property, but the fight against local eminent domain actions must take place at local level. The people of New London, Connecticut could start by removing from office their local officials who created the problem in the first place. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. Remember our phone number this morning, 864-244-8177, live between 7:30 and 9. If you're listening at any other time, it's a recorded show. Otherwise, give us a call if you'd like, 864-244-8177, or backup line 864-201-6955. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coburn's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coburn. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coburn. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coburn, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we want to remind you folks to go to the petitiononline.com website, petitiononline.com, put a / after that URL and web address, and then write SCROG, SCROG 1. That's all caps, SCROG 1, and you will come up with a South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. It'll take you 30 seconds to sign this petition and hopefully send a message to the South Carolina legislature that we are not going to stand in South Carolina for the abridgment of private property, for the abridgment of our liberties and our right to liberty and our right to life. And this petition can be sent to only if we have a great deal of support, obviously, from folks here in South Carolina. So we'd like to encourage everyone to go out and go to the petitiononline.com/SCROG and sign that petition today. Well, we have some controversy about the Cal Thomas article that we read, which I think was actually a pretty decent article. In fact, one of my our research staff wrote the same thing. He says, in his opinion, Cal's not as far off as the guy we're about to read says he is. Cal's criticisms are on target, but there are some other issues. Here's some of the other issues that have been brought up. Tim Wildman. Writes that Cal concocts faulty critique of Christians again, he says. I don't know who Tim Wildman is. Let me see if we've got a note here. It's distributed by ChristianWorldviewNetwork.com. But at any rate, what do we think about this? Here's what Tim Wildman says about Cal Thomas. Cal Thomas is at it again. I will explain in a moment. Since you are reading this column, I'm going to assume that you have some understanding that there is a cultural war going on in America. On one side are people who believe in the Christian view of man. We believe there is an absolute truth. There's absolute truth and fixed standards of morality that have been given to us by the God of the Holy Bible. Examples of these fixed standards are found in the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. On the other side are people who believe the exact opposite of what I have just described. They are mostly secularists or humanists, sometimes called secular humanists, and they believe morality is relative. They do not believe in words like good or evil. They detest Christianity, particularly by the evangelical brand, because of its claims of exclusivity. They like to scare the public into believing that evangelical Christians want to force religious doctrines on the rest of America by using the law to do it. There are two sides at war in our country today. What is at stake here is whose definition of right and wrong will prevail when it comes to social mores and public policy, where that leaves us and leads us as a people, and what it means to our future. This is the war for the soul of America, if you will. You know, it is really frustrating when fellow Christians use the same false arguments of the secular left to criticize the conservative Christian pro-family movement. The movement is made up of leaders like Don Wildman, James Dobson, James Kennedy, Chuck Colson, Gary Bauer, Tony Perkins, Richard Land, Jerry Falwell, and others. Ironically, Cal Thomas sometimes joins the liberal attackers. And, you know, I'm going to pause here. So do we here at Christian Worldview. Many of the people on the list we just mentioned are neocons, or people that whose orthodoxy can even be called into question. I wouldn't say James Kennedy, but certainly Chuck Colson's alignment with the Pope and James Dobson's alignment with Darwinian ideas and socialism from a Marxist point of view, as well as the aggressive warfare ideal of the neocons and going off and doing what we're doing in Iraq, lines them up with people that are certainly out there on the other side, as far as I'm concerned. And this is the great battle, cultural battle, as you say, even among the among Christians. The fellow who's writing is, I haven't gone through the rest of the column here, but he's most likely a divine writer. He's a guy who believes in the revitalized or reshaped divine right of kings doctrine, and that's why he chafes at people who might hold to a liberty of conscience view or a theonomic perspective. He views the state very differently. He's like Tony Beam and his radio show on Christian Worldview Today, the Festival of Ignorance is what I like to call it, because he actually promotes these things as if they're true and chides and chafes against those who don't hold them. Well, you say, well, Dr. Coben, you basically do the same thing. Okay, fair enough, that's true. We have to give Tony Beam his sayings and the say of this guy Wildman and others, as well as they go through and promote their divine right of kings doctrine. But all I can say is, from as far as I'm concerned, it's an unbiblical doctrine. It's a doctrine not based on a truly Christian worldview. It's a false hope and a false doctrine that people come up with and have concocted through man's wisdom rather than God's wisdom. Well, let me go on and read this divine writer a little further. Thomas is a nationally syndicated columnist. He also has his own show on Fox News Channel each weekend. In a recent column, he went after conservative Christians, and again, I'm not sure what Cal claims to be, perhaps a moderate. I know he once worked for Dr. Falwell in the Moral Majority back in the early 80s, but he talks about conservative Christians today as if he is not one, even though he often writes as if he is. In the book he co-wrote with Ed Dobson, no relation to James Dobson, titled Blinded by Might, he wrongly attributed ill motives to James Dobson and Jerry Falwell, saying they were doing what they were doing because they enjoyed flexing their political muscles. Basically, he said these two were on ego trips and were trying to bring about spiritual and moral change in America through the force of government, advising that they should instead focus their time and energies and resources on activities of promoting the gospel. This frequent argument is used by liberals to try to thwart the effort of conservative Christian leaders. You Christians need to clothe the poor and feed the hungry and quit trying to force your morals and everyone else with politics, is a line often used against us, as if Christians can't care for the poor and stand for public policies that reflect biblical righteousness at the same time. What was interesting about Thomas's criticisms of Dobson and Falwell in the book is that these two gentlemen, their respective ministries, has spent the vast majority of the time and money over the years helping families and marriages and spreading the gospel message, while perhaps spending 5% of their time to try to influence politics and or government. And when they don't get around, get involved in political issues, they always go to, also moral issues that the scripture speaks to. So again, this is a straw man Thomas puts up, just like liberals do. Now his latest jab. Thomas is doing the same thing again. In a recent column, he lauded the comments of former United States Senator John Danforth, who actually wrote critically of conservative Christians in the New York Times on June 17th. In a column entitled Onward Moderate Christian Soldiers, wrote Danforth, many conservative Christians approach politics with a certainty that they know God's truth and they can advance his kingdom of the kingdom of God through governmental actions. Incidentally, that same column, Danforth writes that he is a Christian who is for human embryonic stem research and against constitutional amendment to protect marriage because it would humiliate homosexuals. Don't ask me how he can give readers his view on moral issues while using the column to go after conservatives for doing precisely the same thing. With some qualification, Thomas agreed with Danforth's statement criticizing conservatives and then added, Christians are limited in what government can do for them for an earthly agenda. All right, we're going to stop right there just because we have to jump to a break. When we come back, we want to read this important article written by a divine writer and offer our own critique here at Christian Worldview. Remember the phone number, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Love to hear from you this morning on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian Worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us here this morning in the upstate of South Carolina currently. We are in about the mid-70s today, it seems, and in fact, Greenville, Spartanburg are both at 73, 74 degrees, Clemson, Anderson at 72 degrees, and today we're going to have partly cloudy skies, a chance of thunderstorms. In fact, we're expecting some heavy rain and flooding tonight as the tropical storm moves up from Florida. But anyway, in the meantime, we have highs in the upper 80s, northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain is about 40%. They're expecting this evening and tomorrow to get as much as 10 inches of rain in the upstate of South Carolina. So it's going to be a really a huge downpour here. We'll see if it actually materializes, but you can be prepared for that for tomorrow and tonight. Well, we have a caller on the line. Paul is calling us, and we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Coben. How are you doing this
morning? Well, I can hear you in the background, but I'm not sure you're on the air, so we may have to get a... are you on the air now? Try again, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Coben. How
are
you doing?
You keep saying, good morning, Dr. Coben. How am I doing? But I don't think the listeners can hear you anywhere, so we're going to hang on just a second, Paul. All these technical difficulties for the fledgling Tyranny Response Network. We do our best, folks, as much as possible. All right, we know the old tried and true method to get Paul on the air here. We have a